Stewardship, a Mission of Faith presents Gospel Reflection. Gospel Reflection is a one-hour weekly gathering with prayer and the breaking open of the bread of life, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those participating, lives are changed, renewed, and transformed. Please join with us now for this week's Gospel Reflection.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
With that, would you mind opening us up with a prayer?
Father God, we lift our hearts to you this morning in open praise and thanksgiving for your grace, mercy, and most of all for your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for his life and for his works, what he did and what he is doing. We thank you that we can own him as our Savior and as our Lord. Lord, this day as we gather, we ask your blessing. We seek it that we may better understand you and your word. We thank you that you will cleanse us through the word as you have promised by your Spirit. So enable us and empower us to do your will as we give you thanks for what you are going to do.
Amen.
And may we be changed because we've been here this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. So important for us to always stay united and be that light to the world. So with that, go ahead.
Please, Lord, allow each of us gathered here in this room to be an instrument in the answer to your prayer of unity, so that each of us, united as one, may be a light that leads to you.
And I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may see that you sent me.
Yes.
And that you love them even as you have loved me. John 17:20-23.
Awesome. You know, that brought back as you were praying that the battle cry of Satan is to divide and conquer, but the prayer of our Lord is unity.
Amen.
To whom are we listening?
Amen.
And that's a daily question.
Amen.
With that, if we open up our little prayer book to the inside cover, we always like to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts, because the beauty of these groups are it's an opening of the hearts to the Holy Spirit, and then a free sharing of how the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts through the breaking open of the bread of life. And with that, I'd love to hear your beautiful voice this morning, if you don't mind leading us, and we'll respond in the italics.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful,
and keep on them in the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created.
And you shall renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of thy faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Are you feeling a degree of humility today?
Let's go for it.
All right. And we'll all respond in the right-hand column. And let's let each of these words penetrate us in what we're asking the Lord to help us with.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me.
From the desire of being esteemed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being loved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being acclaimed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being honored,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being praised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being preferred,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being consulted,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being approved,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the desire of being valued,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being humbled,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being despised,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being dismissed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being rejected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being defamed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being forgotten,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being wronged,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From the fear of being suspected,
Lord Jesus, free me.
From resenting that my opinion is not followed,
Lord Jesus, free me.
That others will be loved more than I,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be esteemed more than I,
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
that others will increase in the opinion of the world while I diminish.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be chosen while I'm set aside.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be praised while I am overlooked.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
That others will be preferred to me in everything.
Lord Jesus, make this my prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, though you were God, you humbled yourself to the extreme of dying on the cross, to set an enduring example to the shame of my arrogance and vanity. Help me to learn your example and put it into practice, so that humbling myself in accordance with my lowliness here on earth, you can lift me up to rejoice forever in heaven.
Amen. Amen. And now we're going to pray what's called the universal prayer. And just let these words penetrate our hearts.
Lord, I believe in you. Help me to believe more firmly. I trust in you. Help me to trust more surely. I love you. Help me to love you more ardently. I am sorry for my sins. Help me to deepen my sorrow.
I worship you because I came from you. I long for you because you made me for yourself. I praise you as my ever-present helper. I call on you as my powerful protector.
Amen. Guide me by your wisdom. Correct me with your justice. Comfort me by your mercy. Defend me with your power.
Lord, I offer you my thoughts to be centered on you, my words to speak of you, my actions to do your will, my sufferings for your sake.
I want whatever you want, because you want it, the way you want it, as long as you want it.
Lord, enlighten my mind, strengthen my will, purify my heart, and sanctify my spirit.
Enable me to forget past offenses, resist future temptation, overcome wayward tendencies, and cultivate needed virtues.
Lord, in your goodness, grant me the grace to love you and forget myself, to seek my neighbor's good and despise the seduction of the world.
Teach me to obey those in authority, serve those under my care, look after my friends, and forgive my enemies.
Lord, help me to overcome pleasure by austerity, greed by generosity, anger by self-mastery, and apathy by fervor.
Make me prudent in planning, unwavering in danger, patient in adversity, unassuming in success.
Keep me, Lord, attentive at prayer, moderate in food and drink, energetic in my work, firm in my resolutions.
Enable me to keep my conscience clear, my bearing honest, my dealings exemplary, and my life well-being.
Lord, let me be alert to tame my natural impulses, foster the life of grace, keep your law, and win salvation.
Teach me how trivial worldly interests are, how momentous the kingdom, how brief temporal concerns are, how lasting life eternal.
Lord, help me to prepare for death, fear judgment, escape hell, and reach paradise.
Break this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to read the gospel today from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. And if you've noticed, at the bottom of the sheet, we have put a reflection question point. How does this gospel reading speak to your heart literally, then and now, spiritually, morally, and in the life example of Christ? We also put below that additional scripture readings that will help you and tie into this gospel if you'd like to do some little bit of research before you come to the readings. Help open up your hearts. With that, who would like to read today?
The gospel this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me,
and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called to them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I read this passage yesterday, several thoughts went through my mind, and I'd like to throw them out to the group and maybe precipitate some thought. Jesus, because he was God, knew these men before he saw them along the Sea of Galilee fishing. And because I believe, and it's true that God is sovereign, he knew something about them that when he walked along, he pointed the finger to them and said, follow me. You're fishing now, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. I believe that in that aspect also, he prepared them in some way, or there were some character qualities there that he saw would be useful and helpful in building the kingdom and promoting the message that he wanted to promote. So I take that statement and then try to juxtapose and overlay that over top of me. Notice several times immediately came up, left immediately. But at the same time, the older I get, the more I realize that everything that God has ordained to come into my life is a preparation for something that he's calling me to mm-hmm. in the future. Mm-hmm. I counsel young men sometimes on that and say, no, you may not be where you think you want to be right now, but let God have time to work with you and submit to his leading with where you are right now. So the challenge that came to me was, as I take a look around about me and where I'm fishing and the pond God's given me to fish in right now, what's he preparing me for the future, and am I open and willing to respond when he says, now, let's do this?
Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and again, in reading this, he said to them, come after me and I will make you fishers of men, and at once they left their nets and followed him. The Holy Spirit had to be at work for those guys to just pick up and follow someone. Again, the Spirit had to be with those men to move them to make that decision to follow Jesus.
That's
and,
right.
You know, again, are we paying attention when the Spirit is speaking to us? How do we deal with that calling? And these men at that time had to have some trust in that Spirit in order to make that commitment.
As you were saying that, I was thinking too about on Friday at the leadership group, we were talking about where your priorities are and what comes first. And, you know, how many times do you put work first and God in a second, third, fourth? But these guys put God first instead of their work. And they decided to drop their nets, drop what needed to be done, and went right away. And how many times do we sacrifice God for our work? Because that's more important. We got to finish this. We got to do this.
Well, that's interesting because it's like that immediate obedience. I mean, we hear these guys, they immediately left what they were doing. So they didn't think about all the other things. They obey. And if you think about what Satan's going to say to you, he's going to say, did God really say? God really say that? Did God really mean that? It's a big struggle I always have. That immediate obedience. When he asks me to do something, have I got to reach out right away? Or am I going to do all those other things?
When I read this yesterday, I felt for Father Zebedee. It's one thing to leave an occupation. It's another thing to leave your dad. And I have a confession to make along with that. Every time we pray this prayer of Clement and we get to, I want whatever you want because you want it the way you want it, as long as you want it, that chokes me up. My dad owned an automobile business, a used car business in a junkyard, they called it that day. And he wanted me to take over his business. I was his only son. He even painted my name on the side of his tow truck, his name and then and son. And when I told him I was called to the ministry and was going into the ministry, pain went through my father. I mean, and I, to this day, I almost repent. I feel so sorry for Dad because I disappointed him terribly. But when you say, look, and I said to the Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be where you want me to be. I'll go, and I had no idea that meant going to the North Pole and going to the freezing, being up on the ice cap for a year and then going down to the jungles of Vietnam for a year. I had no idea what God called me to do. Give it, but Dad. The thrilling thing was, I want to tell you, my dad at 65 wrote me a letter. And when I was in Greenland, he said, son, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I couldn't wait for you to come home. I went to see the pastor, and I just accepted Jesus as my Savior. Amen. That was the best thing. Now Dad and I are one. But we were at odds, at terrible odds, because I disappointed him. Well, this scripture talks to me.
But perhaps your obedience to the Lord is what opened the door of your father's heart to that relationship. Mm-hmm. We don't know the impact of our yes. Yeah. And I'm telling you, and as you were sharing, I keep going back to a word that a year ago I had no idea what it meant, which was docility. I'm like, take that word out. I don't know what it means, so just take it out. Well, now that's the word the Lord keeps teaching me every day, to be docile to the Holy Spirit working in your life. And what does that look like? I'm just going to give you a quick, brief story. Yesterday morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. I was down in Ocean City. I took a day and a half of just recharge, respite, and it just filled me. I went to Mass twice in one day. I prayed, just time with the Lord. It was awesome. Awesome. 4:30 in the morning, I'm driving home. I'm late for a gospel reflection group with the ladies because of the ice in the roads. But that was okay because I watched the Lord work. He ended up combining the ladies and the men's group for the first time at my workplace, and it was beautiful. 2 months ago, the ladies didn't want to be with the men didn't want to be with the women, but because I was late, it wasn't about me. The Holy Spirit united them both. When I got there, I was like, this is beautiful. So I was like, thank you, Lord. And I left there, and I went to Mass at St. Joan of Arc at Hershey, and I'm at Mass, and just a beautiful time of reflection with the Lord. And I get up to leave, which is what I always do at the end of Mass, docility to the Spirit. And that little quiet voice in my heart, that little tug, kneeled down and just thanked me for everything that I'm doing in your life. And I knelt down, I put my hands over my eyes, and I just thanked the Lord for everything He's doing in my life.
Amen.
It brought me such peace. And I was there maybe 8-10 minutes, I really don't know. And I've never done that after Mass. And I got up and I walked out and I went to the book section that we just put in at St. Joan of Arc. And I'm standing there and an 80-year-old nun who we just sang to her happy birthday, it was her birthday the day before, and Father had us sing to her, comes walking out the door with this beautiful look on her face. She turns, walks right over to me and gives me a hug and says, thank you, David. And I'm like, why would Sister do that? And I said, oh, Sister, you're welcome, da-da-da-da. And she said, I'm ready to go home to the Father. And I said, no, 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 Sister. The Father needs you. He needs you to continue to be a blessing in others. Each and every day, Sister, He needs you. He's not ready for you to come home yet. Her face lit up. The tears welled up in her eyes. This beautiful 80-year-old sister who gave her life to the Lord. And she said, thank you, David. I needed to hear that.
Amen.
And as she walked away and the tears were rolling down her cheeks and she's wiping them off, I realized that God used me to be an instrument
to give her a heavenly kiss of affirmation. Amen. Of her yes to the Lord and her value. And I went, thank you, Lord. Moments later, a couple comes over to the bookshelf area, just telling me how beautiful this is in their church and how blessing it is. And the Lord sent that couple to me, to reaffirm me, to say thank you for your yes. And I went, this is just unbelievable. And as I walked out, I get in my car and I'm leaving, and I hadn't seen the priest since he lost his father, his father's sister, and his cousin in a week. Three funerals. He was a wreck. And I hadn't seen him to offer my condolences to him. And I pull up to the stop sign. I see this man coming with a jacket and a hat. And I turn and I look, and it's Father. And I opened the window, and I reached out. He held my hand. And just that moment of beauty. And I said, we're praying for you. We love you. You're in our heart, Father. And he just thanked me. It was beautiful. And he walked away. I put the window open. As I'm pulling away, I thought of this. That I had not been obedient. The Holy Spirit's prompting, I'd have missed all three opportunities for to receive that heavenly kiss and to give that heavenly kiss. And it was beautiful. And so that for me in my life is a life lesson, because if we are so in a hurry to get our agendas done, we miss those divine appointments. Because it's all about us, and we do the Zoom factor. So I apologize for being so long, but it was so beautiful yesterday morning, and I was filled with such peace the rest of that day. Mm-hmm. And I just thank the Lord for those opportunities, those little glimpses of Him working in my life.
One of the things I think we struggle with in our culture, because this passage brings this out, we've been talking about immediate obedience, is I feel like there's going to be a lot more celebrities who are going to get a revelation of Jesus and they're going to leave everything and they're going to follow the Lord. But there's something in Western culture that says, oh, that's a waste. It's a waste. That guy could have such a good career. I'm just saying that's to start flush through Western thinking, you know. Take a Tom Brady from the Patriots, and they didn't have a good game. But let's say he says, I'm leaving everything and I'm going to preach the gospel. In America, they would say that's a waste. And these guys were good fishermen. And it wasn't about the waste. It was about Jesus. It was about obedience. And I think we have to wrestle with that personally. That just kind of soaks into us as a people. Yeah. And immediate obedience, that's a waste. You know, just a little bit longer. Live a little bit longer doing your thing. And it's like, no, don't live any longer doing your thing. Get into whatever He's doing and do it. So I'm just thinking about how those conversations go on.
It's funny that we live in such in a society where immediate is the norm. We want immediate everything.
That's true.
From food to entertainment to everything has to be now.
Right.
We can't even wait at a red light.
Right.
We have to inch up, or if we're making a right turn, we can't even stop for that red light. This morning, three people right in front of me, just I had the green light, and they're just pulling out, turning right in front of me. Everything has to be quick, except when God wants us to do something. Then we're more than willing to say, slow down. Let's think about
this. That's right. That's right.
So
that's good, Rick.
Everything immediate except obedience.
That's powerful. We want to make sure it's God.
They followed him. In both cases, they followed him. And I think that following him is critical, because I would encourage you, brother, that when you go to work, make your work your ministry. And we're called to do the best job we can for the glory of the Lord. So going to work is not the issue. It's what's going on in your heart. Are you following after the Lord, and are you showing forth the kingdom wherever you are? We're all given different spheres of influence, and wherever we go, we carry Christ with us, and that's really what the gospel is all about: is showing the love of Jesus wherever we go. So they followed him. You know, there were a lot of disciples besides his 12, and a lot of them started to follow him, but they didn't. They left. when things weren't looking good, they bailed. So following him is taking on a total commitment to follow after him, good times, bad times. You know, and there were the great times with Christ, and but there were also times of being rejected, times of not having enough, and things of that nature in his ministry. So you have to be resolute in your heart to follow him, whatever the circumstance. Because what happened here was they switched their source of provision. They stopped fishing and followed him. They left their dad and followed him. So they're switching their place of resource from the world, which is what we're talking about, the world to the spiritual. And we'll never be disappointed in doing that.
Yeah, they switched their source, but you know he said, "You're fishermen, and I'll come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And so as you were talking about whatever we work at, the Lord can use that work scene and how we interact as a way of capturing souls. So we don't have to. Although they did a career change, it wasn't really a career change. It was a change from being a fisherman to being a fisherman. But the goal was different. So, and that's whether we are in construction or whether we are in education, whatever we're in, we can use that platform so it's transformational. But it does use the skills, the position, the platform we have. Solely for the Lord.
You know, and it's interesting when you share that, and again, help me here. Later on in the Gospels, they're fishing, and Jesus comes upon them. And they said, "We fished all night, we didn't catch anything." So they were still at their profession. And the Lord says, "Let me bless your profession. Let me show you. Let's do it with my help." And so, you know, that's encouragement for me, because what I wrote down, what you just shared, is just so beautiful. Because what I wrote down was, Jesus went around proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, where he was, and then I put in parentheses, where the Father intended him to be, at home, in the community, and in the workplace, through his life's actions and words, his healing, his everything. He went, and this was critical when you tie it back to the first paragraph. He went into the darkness, taking the light for those around him. He helped cure their spiritual blindness to see the truth and opened their deafened ears to hear the truth. And we need to, Jeff, and each and every one of us, you know, we think, "Oh, well, I've got to leave everything, my workplace. You know, and I've got to be a minister." No, 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 no. God can use you, and your workplace becomes your ministry. You bring that light into each and every facet. No one can take your place. No one. You have a unique role in the kingdom of God in building it in what the Lord has called you to and where the Father wants you, because you can bring his light to those people. I can't. We're not there. Each and every one of us are where we are for a purpose. It's so beautiful as I keep looking at the working of the body of Christ and taking that light into wherever the Lord's calling us. And I know for me, he keeps saying, step out of your comfort zone. Step out of the boat. Keep focused on Christ amidst the crashing of the waves around you. Stay focused on Christ, but step out of your comfort zone. And be bold in proclaiming that truth with love. And I think that's a challenge point for me. What else do we see?
In the first paragraph, it talks about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven is near. And it reminds me of Isaiah 55:6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. And let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him." That's the one time that you don't want to procrastinate. You know, we talk about we want things instantly. when the Holy Spirit's convicting, or when the presence of Christ is present, and he's calling us to repent, to change our ways, to humble ourselves, a delayed response to that can be very damaging.
Dangerous,
we'll say that. Thank God he has mercy, because I don't think he's ever spoken to one person one time. He speaks to us multiple times. But in Jesus' case, it was a very pointed experience for the disciples, because he said, you're going to go out into communities and you're going to preach this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And if that community rejects you, you're supposed to shake the dust off your feet and move on. A concept that we're not real familiar with, I don't think, in our thinking and teachings. But the point being that Jesus was coming and he was ministering the gospel, and the people who were around him needed to pay attention, because if they didn't and he moved on, they may be forever lost. And it's the same with what our brother started out by saying over here, that the Holy Spirit is the one who drew Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he's the one that's still drawing people today. And either when he shows up in our lives to speak to us, or he's bringing an unsaved person to the first time to repent, those are very critical moments to respond and make the right choices.
It's funny how Satan's got us backwards on all this stuff. Where we should have patience and slow down and wait, we
zip right on by. Yep.
And where we should be quick to answer, that's where we hesitate.
Yeah, that's right. You have to wonder. I mean, it would be interesting to get the little dialogue that was going on inside of Peter and Andrew's mind as Jesus is standing by their boat saying, hey, come follow me. What's going through their head? Who's this guy? We have the story. It's the Reader's Digest version, but what was happening in their mind in that God moment? I'm sure you stewed about what you were going to tell your dad for quite a while before you told him.
Connected with that, I think about John the Baptizer. He had to go to jail in order for Jesus to be elevated to his ministry. So what the great contrast here is to me, what I must
decrease
in order that he may increase.
And you know what you just shared? The Lord sometimes uses very traumatic events in our lives and things that aren't what on the outside, Jesus' friend was arrested. It's his cousin. It's his friend. Mm-hmm. It's his playmate from his youth. But yet that event caused Jesus to go where the Father wanted him, so that he could take that light to those that bring darkness. And I believe that happens to us again and again and again. And I think that's where, and I'm telling you, my life's journey, I want to surrender every day. I don't want to have any curiosity of trying to figure it out. I got no time for that. That's not of God. I just need to be obedient every day. I don't want to know the future. I don't want to figure it out. I just want to say yes, be obedient, and I want to learn. And I want to learn and grow and be that vessel of love to each and every human being brought into my life. Because for that 80-year-old nun, that exchange was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was God's fingerprints, because God's fingerprints are always an exchange of love, an exchange of gifts. What I gave to her, she gave back to me in the beauty of her tears.
That's right.
And I'll never forget.
Amen. So sometimes the very things, the crisis and challenges that are happening in our life, are kind of preparing us for that next season in our life that we need to be willing to say yes to. Yeah. And we're kind of frustrated by what's going on in our lives, but God's preparing us, and we just need to be at peace that he knows what he's doing.
But the weaponry of Satan, what he uses is, he gets you in a trap. What's the trap? Why is he doing this? Why is this happening in my life? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? And you spin, and you go nowhere. And the Lord wants to set you free. But you're all worried about what's tomorrow, what's next week, what's next year, what? Well, that lack what? Lacks trust.
Sure.
And that's a trap that we need to be very, very keen and aware of. When we get into that spin cycle,
Unplug the dryer.
Grover Tapping, sure. We were talking about this on the way over today. Some of you know, we're going through a trial in our family where I have a son-in-law whose contact was diagnosed with leukemia over in Indonesia, and now he's in Singapore in a hospital, and the situation is he's recovering. It's going to be a long, hard. But when that hit, and my daughter calls on the phone and announces this tragedy. You know, hey, I'm a daddy. I'm a father. You know, my job is to run out there and fix it, and because that's how you raised your kids. You know, and what can I do? Didn't have the know-how or the wherewithal or the resources to do it. I sent my wife, the greatest gift I could give, because she could help with the kids who were there. But through this whole time, and so I've been the communicator, been sending out the emails and everything to everybody. And there have been powerful things of the Lord have come around, and you've seen all kinds of things happen in the lives of people that we know didn't know the Lord and are now seeking. And so I think, hey, I guess I'm the guy who's supposed to just stay at home and communicate when I'm accustomed to being out there in the front line and being the problem solver. So the Lord teaches me a lot in this process. And praise God for that, and thank you for your prayers. But it was... I had to sell out to a different position. You know, I'm not a fisherman, or not a problem solver now. I'm a communicator.
I think the neatest thing is what you just said. Was the first thought I had when we read this gospel, because it comes out of the verse where it says, and the people living in the darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that's the whole world.
Yeah.
That's the whole world. Even though 800 years before that, the glory of God could prophesy where Jesus would start his ministry, which is unbelievable, and he would be in that valley and all that. It's a universal picture of the world.
That's right.
And my question, as soon as you read that, and it comes back to what you just said, is how do we allow the light of the dawn to come again and again and again? Because that light is still dawning.
Yep. Amen.
And that's how we do it. Is we have to discern what the Spirit's doing in the situation. Looks like everything's going south, but God's in it, and He's going to do something, and He's going to bring glory to His name. And it could be from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, and we have to let that dawn come again. So
I want to just go one step further, and she has a bunch of precious neighbor girls, most of them who didn't know the Lord. She has one neighbor girl. She was always making fun because of the prayer and her tender life. Whenever this happened, she joined with some church friends who were doing intercessory prayer three nights a week for a passionate way, and she started to go, and now she has come to say, I need that kind of faith.
Hallelujah.
She and her husband are even going to marriage counseling because at the church. So I see that this couldn't have happened if this hadn't been.
There
she
you
said,
go.
It shouldn't take a sick neighbor getting leukemia to get me to the Lord, but it's happened.
That's right.
So who knows?
That is beautiful. Who would think?
Anyone else have a reflection?
Good.
Good.
I'm just soaking it in.
Awesome. Yes, go ahead.
I'm reflecting here that... In following Jesus, we follow him. He went to the cross, and we have to go to the cross. Not his cross, but we have to pick up our cross. And we have to, you know, in James, in 1 Peter, I think it says, count it all joy when diverse things happen in your life and all that. And I think that's really all about faith. Because if we didn't have affliction in our life, I think a lot of times we give the devil credit for what God is doing. I think God oftentimes will actually lead us into places of affliction so that we will learn to exercise our faith.
Amen.
And learn to lean on the author and finisher of our faith, which is Christ. And it's really all about our faith walk as we go from glory to glory. We go from small faith to increasing faith to larger faith to... absolute faith that we, whatever the Father is saying, we can obey immediately. We can walk in faith despite what's happening all around us. In Job's case, it talked about the fact that he heard the whisper of God out of the whirlwind. And a lot of times when we get caught in the whirlwind, we don't exercise our faith to hear what the Father's saying.
Amen.
Because the Father's saying, I'm going to deliver you.
That's right.
I'm not only going to deliver you, but I'm going to take this situation and turn it into a ministry opportunity. I'm going to take this situation and walk you through it in such victory that then you'll be able to minister to somebody else in a similar situation to bring them to that point in faith that they have the victory.
Amen.
It's so beautiful when you share. I love it. And I'm thinking back as you were sharing just now, it took me back to what you shared a couple weeks ago, and it's right here again in the gospel. And that is this. When we go to this sentence, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yep.
Do each and every one of us realize that the Lord is speaking that to us each and every day? Why? Because he wants to pull out of our hearts the portals of poison that Satan is using to keep us from what God wants to do in our life, in being that instrument of salvation for others that he can use, and that vessel of blessing to others. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he shared a few weeks ago, the heavens are opened up to us. God wants us to turn to him and repent. Confess of our sins. Expose them to the light.
Amen.
Expose them to the light, because if you do not, you are allowing that portal of poison into your heart that Satan just squashes you. He pumps in fear. He pumps in guilt. He pumps in self-condemnation, despair, distress, anxiety. Any of that sound familiar? They're all warning flags. And isn't of God. God came to set us free and give us life and give it to the fullest. That, to me, is a major challenge point from this reading today.
Amen.
For each of us to ask the Lord, what in my life is allowing that portal of poison? Unforgiveness? Oh, my goodness gracious. That's got a fire hose of poison going into your heart. And it will consume you. And it will spread its roots out through all parts of your heart. And eventually suck the life out of your heart and harden it. So for me, when I heard that as you were just sharing that, I'm like, ding, there it is. Again, this message is for each and every person sitting here. Because God wants to empower us to go out and take his life to the world. And he needs each and every one of us uniquely. He was chosen to take Christ to the world, as was each and every one of us, in a unique way.
Sure. Yep.
In a beautiful way. He's going to bring that 80-year-old nun or whomever into our life. But he wants to set us free so he can fully use us. What else do we see?
I find it also interesting that Jesus was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. I think most of the time we hear the gospel as the good news of Jesus Christ. And in the way we hear it, it's mostly about the story of his sacrifice and resurrection and so forth. And I am curious about what was in the gospel of the kingdom as Jesus was preaching it in these various places, but I'm also impressed that he's doing it very publicly, and he's taking his time, and he's doing it over and over again, and these disciples are hearing this over and over again. It's not something that they cooked up. It's a message that Jesus has been teaching all along. And then I realized that they've written down a number of these sermons, I guess, in like the Sermon on the Mount and these other places. These are some of the Gospels of the Kingdom. The good news of the kingdom that Jesus was teaching to the people. So it's not quite as
obscure as it may seem on first glance.
No, I just was, one of the accounts of Jesus calling these the disciples is when they make the miraculous catch. It's not in this one, but it's in one of the accounts. Jesus is done preaching, tells Peter to put out, and he goes, based upon your word, I go out and he catches the fish. And the thing always struck me, and they caught this huge amount of fish till the boat sinking, and you know, is that this is the question that always intrigued me. What is so glorious about Jesus that in the light of a most glorious catch or doing exactly what you're called to do, Jesus is still more important? And so that is the context of this whole passage, is Jesus is so glorious, these guys left at the pinnacle of a day, in a moment, when they caught everything they were destined to do, that it was the greatest catch they probably ever had. Jesus says, now come follow me. And they knew that he was God, and they knew that by revelation, but sometimes we get to the pinnacle of whatever we're doing, and Jesus says, come do this, and we're like, no, this is better. So that's an amazing part of this whole story that's not on this particular account.
A real repentance leads to a royal kingdom.
Kingdom. Okay.
We enter into a royal realm, if you please, when we have true repentance. Everything becomes new. We walk in the light.
And what's amazing about that is we think we keep it hidden and we're okay. It's our little deal. Well, I can promise you for 46 years of my life, that was my life. But I can also promise you that when you confess it and you get that poison out of you through Jesus Christ, you're set free. Mm-hmm. You haven't got a clue that when the portal of heaven plugs in replace of what Satan's been pumping in your heart, and you keep getting refilled and filled and refilled with peace and joy and love that it overflows, change your life. God, it is so true what the Gospels teach. Jesus came to set the captives free. That's us. That's us. Free from jealousy, free from envy, from all that garbage that Satan uses to twist us, to contort us, to knock us off the tracks. What does he ask for? Humility. Teach me, Lord. Grow me, Lord. Set me free. There is no fear in that freedom. There is no fear. Beautiful reflection. Anything else, gentlemen, before we ask for prayer intentions, Jeff? No?
Just the one thing. I think a lot of times, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, when you see this here and repeated other places in the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we tend to think that Jesus was saying, it's almost here. The kingdom of heaven is almost here. But I was thinking about what it means to have something at hand. And it doesn't mean it's almost here. It means it's here now. These things right here, this glass of water and my calendar and my pen, everything is at hand. I can reach out and grab a hold of it right now.
That's right. Right. It's within your reach.
If it was over on that table, it's not at hand for me. I have to go get it. But he brings the kingdom right here within our reach right now. We don't have to wait for it. We think, when Christ returns and sets up that, you know, millennial kingdom, that's when his kingdom will be here. But it's not. It's here now. And when we accept him, we repent of our sins, and we accept the work of his shed blood on the cross, we enter that kingdom right now. All we're waiting for is his physical presence and to be rid of this sin nature that comes with being human. That's the change that will happen then. But right now, we can live the kingdom, and we miss it so much because we're waiting for it sometime in the future.
And the world is constantly trying to consume us, and the waves of the world are constantly trying to drown us. And the Lord Jesus' hand is always extended. It's always at hand. All we have to do is look up and reach out. He's got us. Beautiful.
And that ties in with the greater scope of the gospel. We speak of the gospel as the gospel of Jesus Christ, life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection. But the full scope of the gospel is the kingdom. Because all of the earth, the scripture tells us, but groans for to be renewed. Our bodies groan to be renewed. The older we get, the more we groan to be renewed. But the full gospel, the entrance to that is the finished work of Christ. Because God created it perfect, and he's going to restore it back perfect. And so we go through this process. And we can enter into that, spiritually enter into that, through the finished work of Christ at the cross.
Mm.
We're going to go to prayer intentions now.
At this point in our gospel reflection meetings, we invite those present to share requests for prayer that God has laid on their hearts, and then we pray for those requests. We encourage you at this time to pause this recording and pray for those people and circumstances that the Lord is bringing to your mind right now. Once you have finished praying, please restart the recording and join us in our closing prayers. Please pause this recording now.
We always like to have a word of prayer. As we pray, as the family of God, we call out as the children of our Father, we call out to him, and he hears each and every one of us. And we begin. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And now for those who choose to join in, we're going to ask Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, prayed for us as we continue to walk this walk one day at a time. She suffered so much as she gave up her son. She understands pain. Please, Mother Mary, pray for us.
Hail Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And now the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Awesome, gentlemen. Thank you so very, very much.
We hope that your life has been enriched by listening to the recording of this edition of Gospel Reflection. If this recording has helped you on your faith journey, please prayerfully consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For information on locations, times, group startups, phone participation, CDs, DVDs, and downloading, please visit our website at www.stewardshipmission.org and click on Gospel Reflection Groups. While visiting our site, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making your tax-deductible donation. Thank you, and may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.